A warm welcome to worship this morning. I'm so pleased that you've been able to join us, and welcome too to everybody who's joining us online, watching from home or elsewhere. 4-0. 4-0. What do you think? Today is a day of rejoicing. And even if you're not into football, today is still a day of rejoicing. Jill was just telling me that she woke up this morning to the sound of "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," and that is what we've come here to do. Before we begin our worship, most of you, I'm sure, will be aware of some very significant votes that were held in the Methodist Conference last week on love and relationships. And on Friday, I received, as indeed did all ministers right across the country, received a letter from the President and Vice President of Conference, who've written a letter that they would like read out at all congregations this morning. So I'm going to read that letter now from them. I need my glasses because it's small. Dear friends, we wish to take this opportunity to write to you after the conference voted on the resolutions contained in the Marriage and Relationships Report. We very much appreciate that these decisions will stir up many different emotions for our siblings across the connection. There will be some who will be deeply hurt and others who will rejoice by what has been decided. Our presidential theme this year is God's Table, an invitation for all. And God's invitation is for every single one of us. The Methodist Church has held tension for many years, and as a church and a family, we must do all we can to live with contradictory convictions. The work was first reflected on back in 1992, and we have been on this journey together since that point. During the past years, we have continued to listen to and to pray for each other, and remaining true to what God is saying to us. We must remember in all of this to continue to hold each other in prayer and to support each other as we find a way forward, respecting our differences. It is perhaps helpful to remember that there are other issues, some of them discussed at the conference, on which we hold differing and sometimes strong opinions. We live with them and we do not allow them to impair our communion with each other. We respect each other's consciences. We exercise judgment in when to speak and when to be silent and to hold one another in prayer. We do all this not for our own sake, but for the sake of Christ and the sake of the world, which urgently needs to know the power of Christ's reconciling love. Our prayer for you, beloved siblings, is that in joy or sorrow, in pain or excitement, we might continue to live within that reconciling love. I shall make sure that that letter goes in the bulletin next week so everybody's got a greater opportunity to digest the words of that. They said in the letter that the theme of next year's connectional year is the invitation to God's table, and that's where we're invited to come now this morning. In this place, whether we're here physically or at home, we're invited to the table of God and the table where Christ sits at the head of that table, and we will be remembering him in bread and wine later on. Let's begin our worship by, I invite you to either see the words on the screen or turn to page 822 in Singing the Faith. It's Psalm 100, and I thought we would read this as a call to worship this morning, after which Graham and the band will lead us in worship. But if you can see there, the bits that are in bold, I'll say the bits that are in ordinary type, and if you can join in with the bits in bold. This is Psalm 100, and it's 822 in Singing the Faith. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. John Slee was due to play the organ for us for some part of our service today, but couldn't make it, so I'm so pleased and thankful for the worship group that are going to lead us in our worship this morning.
In this place, but it's such a privilege to be in God's presence at all times. And so we're going to sing some songs, sing of the King of Glory, but also reflecting on how we are called to follow him. So let's start by singing, of course, we're going to sing. I do look forward to when we can all sing as a congregation very soon. I can't see what's going on behind those masks, but I'll leave that to you. Okay, let's see.
Don't give up, there is hope, there is always hope. And there is peace in the storm, in the storm. Don't forget, he is Lord of all. Who saves, one who is strong and mighty, freedom is in his name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. So lift your eyes, stand in awe, stand in awe. There is one, only one, where my help comes from. There is a King of glory, there is a God who saves, one who is strong and mighty, freedom is in his name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. Shake at the sound of just one name. Over all, Jesus reigns. I know, nations bow, mountains shake at the sound of just one name. Over all, Jesus reigns, I know. There is a King of glory, there is a God who saves, one who is strong and mighty, freedom is in his name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory.
Lord, what a privilege to sing or think or pray words of great praise to a great God, the one who has seated us in the heavenly places next to our Christ, our Jesus. Lord, you have lifted us up and you have brought us into your realm. You've brought us into the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, you hold us in your arms. You love each one of us. You know each one of us to our very core. Lord, before we even utter a word, you know what it is that's on our lips. Lord, you know when we rise, you know when we sleep. Lord, you are the one God from whom our help comes. Lord, we are so blessed to know you. And Lord, you call us to share. You call us to share this great love that we have found in you. You call us to follow. You call us to serve. You call us to be your representatives here on earth, showing compassion and love to this broken world. Lord, and through your power and your strength, we can be your instruments in making a real difference to this world. And Lord, we pray that all those who are tuning in from wherever right now or in the future listening to this service, we pray, Lord, that you will speak into their hearts as much as you are speaking to our hearts here this morning in this place. Lord, we pray that the message of the love which is open to all may radiate from us collectively or individually in our daily lives. Lord, we are so blessed. Lord, we have so many mercies, and we sing about those or hum about those or pray about those right there, right now, this morning. Amen. We're going to sing another song. Some of you who were in just a little bit early got a foretaste of this one. It's a beautiful song which really resonates with what we're focusing on this morning. It's called I Will Follow. Your ways are good, all your ways are true. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. If I'll serve, if this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone, knowing I will find all I need is you and you alone. Go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. In you is life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Follow you, I will follow you, follow you. Yes, Lord, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing that I will find all I need in you alone. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this time of worship, and may we be a blessing to the world.
Amen. Just a quick introduction into the sermon series that I'm hoping to do with you over the next four times that I'm with you here at PMC. In 2015, the God for All vision was first launched in Cumbria, underpinned by a commitment across four different denominations in the county to grow God's kingdom through the development of what was called mission communities. The four denominations agreed to work in close communion together, and those were the Church of England, the URC, the Methodist Church, and the Salvation Army. The original God for All vision was that every person in Cumbria would have the opportunity to hear the message of God's love by the year 2000. Obviously, we're past that date now, so a new vision needed to be created. And 5 years later now, after wide-ranging consultation with all the groups, the God for All team have embraced a refreshed vision, which is this: to release the whole people of God for the whole mission of God for the transformation of Cumbria in the name of Jesus. And central to that refreshed vision are four key themes that the God for All and mission community teams have agreed to adopt. And those four themes are these: to follow daily, to care deeply, to speak boldly, and to tread gently. And so we're going to spend the next four Sundays that I'm leading worship with you here, which is roughly every other week, looking at each of those four themes and exploring what they might mean to us. Today, we'll start by considering what it means to follow daily. And then on the 18th of July, we'll look at care deeply. And on the 1st of August, tread gently. And then on the 22nd of August, speak boldly. I believe that these four values lie at the heart of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus. My hope is that by us exploring them together, we might grow closer in our relationship to the Christ who we follow. Audrey is going to come and read to us our Bible texts for today. Thank you, Audrey.
The first reading is from Matthew chapter 4, and if you wish to follow it, it's on page 968. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases: those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And the second reading is from Matthew 9, chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen.
Thank you, Audrey. We're going to join in a hymn together now. If you're following from Singing the Faith, it's number 673, although I'm sure the words will be up there, although I need to turn to the words here. It's an obvious one perhaps for us to join in with today. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?" So I'd invite you again to stand as you're able as we join in singing together. Thank you. track. You may remember from the early 1970s, I think, Follow You, I Will Follow You, Will You Follow Me by Genesis. And I played that at the beginning of this reflection because I think it sets up nicely our theme for today as we consider what it means to follow daily. I looked up Follow Daily on the God for All website to see what it said, and the subtext says this: we will help each other to follow Jesus more closely, seeking to grow as his disciples in all aspects of life, both corporately and as individuals. So to follow daily means following Jesus as his disciples. You know, six times in both Matthew and Luke, and then eight times in John's Gospel, Jesus asks people to follow him. It was an invitation to discipleship. Now, disciple is not a word we really use much nowadays, is it, at all? But in Bible times, in New Testament times, a disciple was another word for being the student of a rabbi. And this is what used to happen. To become a disciple was the highest, most revered vocation for any Jewish boy, and I'm afraid it was just boys. Until the age of 10 or so, most children would be schooled in their local synagogue. They would all study the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. This was the law that the Jewish people lived by. And by the age of 10, each child was expected to be able to recite each of those first five books of the Bible. Can you imagine it? Those who didn't make the grade, and of course that was most of them, would then leave school and join in their father's trade, whatever that was. But the brightest kids would continue their studies, and then in addition to Torah, they would be expected to memorize the whole of the Old Testament. By about 16 years old, of course, most of even the most cleverest, most diligent children would drop out. But the very brightest and best of them would continue, and they would seek out a rabbi to become a disciple to. This was a rabbi whose teaching, whose particular way of living, the disciple would seek to emulate. The rabbi would test the would-be disciples and would pick and choose only the very best, those who he thought could live up to living like him, who could mirror his teachings and behaviors and lifestyles. And he would then invite those students to follow me. Each day, those new disciples would immerse themselves in the ways of their rabbi, follow closely to him at all times, watch him, imitate him. They would stick to him closely every day, so closely, in fact, that they would end up being covered in the same dust that the rabbi walked in. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi was a well-known blessing that they received. To be a disciple was to be in the same atmosphere as the rabbi, to breathe in the same air, to be covered in the dust of the rabbi. But the rabbi Jesus was different to other rabbis. He never picked the best of the best. He chose young people who had already fallen out of education and had started work. Fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people who had never made it in their education. These were the ones he invited to follow me. Women, the marginalized, the sick, all were included in his invitation. And today, Jesus still invites ordinary people, people just like us, to follow him. To follow daily is our invitation to be a follower of this Rabbi Jesus. Now, all of that might sound somewhat obvious, but I think it's worth pausing a minute just to remind ourselves exactly what it is that we are following. You see, our invitation is not to follow a religion or a creed or a set of rules, but rather an invitation to follow a person. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ, not the religion that was later founded around him. It is not to keep to a particular tradition or to be a good Methodist or to be able to recite the first five books of the Bible, thankfully. It is not to follow a particular theology or to follow Soul Survivor or Tom Wright or John Wesley even. It is to want to follow, to immerse ourselves, to imitate, to be covered in the dust of the man who was both fully human and fully God, Jesus. And all of us, absolutely all of us, are invited. Now there's three things that I want to spend a little time picking out about what it means then to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to follow daily? And the first thing is this. To follow daily is a state of being. What do I mean by that? I mean a state of being in the presence of the one who we're following. To follow Jesus is to be around Jesus. It's impossible, isn't it, to follow someone who's not in sight, who's not present. You have to be alongside someone in order to be able to follow them. Right at the beginning of John's Gospel, John tells us that God became human and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, John says. The incarnation was God wanting to abide with us and journey with us. And then right close to the end of John's Gospel, Jesus says this, "Abide in me and I will abide in you." To follow daily is to intentionally abide in the presence of the one we follow. Jesus says this in John 12, "Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. My servants will be where I am." So first and foremost, I want to say this morning that following daily is not about making sure we do our daily Bible readings or pray for a certain amount of time or that we don't swear or that we spend our time helping old ladies across the road. Of course, it may well include all of those things, but it's not a prescriptive set of laws designed to make us feel bad if we don't make it. No, following daily is about intentionally recognizing the presence of God journeying with us and alongside us and in front of us. It's him we're following. We spend our ordinary days doing our ordinary things, but doing them in the presence of the rabbi. Jesus was always spending time with his Father, wasn't he? He wanted to be close to the Father's heart, to know the love of God and to be surrounded by that love. He was his child, and it was his relationship with his Father that drove everything he did and was. "I and the Father are one," he said. And to follow daily is for you and I to know the same. We follow not so much to the ends of the earth, but to be close to and abide in the Father's heart. As disciples, we're invited to gaze into the mystery of God's infinite love and to know it for ourselves. To follow daily is a state of being in the presence and being held in the loving arms of our wonderful God. Following daily is knowing that relationship we have with the God who never lets us go, and who will always stay close to those who seek to be his followers. But then secondly, as well as a state of being, following daily is a state of action. It is to imitate this rabbi, Jesus. To follow him is to copy him and mold ourselves on him. Ephesians 5:1 says this, "Be imitators of God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children." Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And Philippians 2 says, "Have the same mind in you as was in Christ Jesus." Following daily then means being like Christ. Walking in the footsteps of Christ means being covered in the dust of Christ, doing what Christ does. Do you remember those wrist straps and badges that people used to wear in the 80s and 90s? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Perhaps it sounds like a corny phrase now, but actually I think it's a great question. Following daily means asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? In this situation that I find myself, in this question I must answer, in my response to this set of circumstances, what would Jesus do? It's in the four Gospels, isn't it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we see what it is that Jesus did and what he said and where he went. And so that's where we need to go in order to try and imitate and copy what Jesus did. Following daily means us going to the same people that Jesus went to, being with the same people he spent time with, and having a heart for the same kind of things that Jesus was passionate about. It means spending time with the marginalized, the ostracized, the outsiders, the people on the edges. It means surrounding ourselves with sinners and no-hopers and the wounded and the rejected. Following daily is about the acceptance of others and forgiveness and reconciliation. It's about putting others first always, about giving out and showing compassion and bringing healing and wholeness, because isn't that what Jesus did? following daily, Jesus said, is about loving God and loving others. That's the kind of life that we're invited to imitate. That's what we're called to copy. Now, although Jesus used to preach in the synagogue and the temple, most of his time he spent going out to where the people were. He never said anything about the number of times that we should attend synagogue or church or read the Bible. The only rule he ever gave was for us to love one another. He never put any conditions on us shaping up or finding acceptance with God. All of those considered out were those who were actually in. And all of those who were last were first. Everybody was invited to God's wedding banquet. Everyone belonged. To follow daily is for us to live like that, to be like that, to love like that. It is to wash one another's feet, to turn the other cheek, to serve one another, to lift and affirm the other. But there's one final thing that I want to say about following daily, and it's an important thing, I think, to end with. Following daily is a state of being, it's a state of action, but finally, it's a state of dependence. Because seeking to be like Jesus can sometimes leave me feeling quite useless, really. No matter how hard I try or how much I want to, personally, I know that I'll always mess up and default to my own sorry standards. And so that's why this last bit is so important. Look at the disciples that Jesus chose in the Gospels. So often they got it wrong, didn't they? And they failed to get the point of what Jesus was saying or doing. Loads of times they failed to copy him. They ended up betraying him and denying him and running away. They were undependable, and so are we. And yet they wanted to follow, because the rabbi they followed was somebody who was completely dependable and was somebody who would never run away or let them go. When I look at myself, I too know how much I need to follow someone like that. You see, my confidence is not in a belief system or a doctrine, and certainly not in my own ability or strength. No, my confidence is knowing that I'm held even when I feel that I can't hold on. It's knowing that I'm loved even when I know how unlovable I am. It's being sustained by God's faithfulness to me rather than mine to him. Jesus invites us to follow him because it's he who wants and desires this relationship of presence with us. He delights in us. We are seen, known, and held by him. We're loved and welcomed into his family of failed disciples. That same power that made us and redeemed us and saved us, it's the same power that is devoted to holding us and journeying with us every single moment of our lives. To follow daily is about depending on God, for we cannot just walk alone. We all need help. And so I will follow the one who knows where I am and knows where I'm going and who wants to lead me to green pastures and quiet waters and to life in all its fullness. And my invitation to you is to follow this Jesus daily too. To follow in the presence of the Christ who journeys with us. To seek to imitate this Jesus. To be like this Jesus. And to know that you are held and accepted and loved by this Jesus. To depend on his strength and in his faithfulness to us. And to be covered in the same dust as this Jesus. Amen. And now Laura is going to come and share a time of prayer with us. Thanks, Laura.
Let us take a moment to be still in the presence of God. Dear Lord, we pray to you alongside your whole glorious creation. We thank you for those things in our world that sustain us and reveal you to us daily. We pray that you will keep our hearts and minds open to your presence in creation, and that we might pursue a right relationship with and within it, recognizing we are all one. We pray for our world leaders, that they may have both wisdom and integrity, that they have the insight and courage to understand and do what is right, even when it may not be easy or popular to do so, and to use the power they have been given for the common good. We pray for the people of the world, that we recognize your presence both in ourselves and the other, to remember that everyone is precious and loved by you. We pray for those facing the effects of conflict, climate change, and suffering from a lack of the resources they need to survive and thrive as you intended. We pray for all struggling with the ongoing effects of the pandemic, especially those without the luxury of free or adequate healthcare and vaccine provision. Help those of us that have far more than we need to share generously with those that don't, so we may all be blessed. We pray for our church, for our new president, Reverend Sonia Hicks, and Vice President Barbara Easton, and for our own ordained ministers and lay preachers. Help them all to stay close to you and support each other in discerning your will for our church's role in modelling your love and care for all. We pray for our own needs, and in a moment of quiet, bring to you now the names and needs of others known to us. Give us the insight and courage to dismantle the protective shells of ego and denial we build around ourselves, and to be able to believe that you love us and you long for us to recognize your presence around and within ourselves and others. Help us to continually seek to find and follow you. Amen.
Thank you so much, Laura. I said at the beginning that the theme that our president introduced for us for the next year was the invitation to God's table. And part of that is what we signify in what we're going to do now as we come to this banquet table of Christ, where we know that following daily means not only us seeking to emulate and depending on this amazing God that we have and this Jesus, but also receiving afresh for ourselves the love and the grace and the mercy and the healing and the wholeness of this Christ for ourselves. And that's what we do by coming to this table. We remember and we give thanks for all that God did for us in Jesus, but we also take God's love and God's grace and God's healing for ourselves once more. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song now as we come to this time of communion. I'm going to sanitize my hands, and what we'll do is what we've been doing before when it comes to receiving the bread and the wine. Then myself and whoever's assisting, whether that's Trace or Michelle, will bring the wafers round to you, and then we'll retain those, and then we'll all eat together, and then we'll do the same with the wine. You've got real glasses today, rather than disposable ones, and I would ask you that when you go, if you can just leave them in the baskets when you go. So, worship band, lead us in worship. Thank you.
Jesus, be the center. My source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be my source, be my light, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus. Jesus, be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus.
So let's pray. Jesus, be the centre. Jesus, we want you to be the centre of this time now. Be the focus. Be the where all of this time that we've spent together is headed. Be that right at the middle of it, right at the core of it right now. Be the centre in this time. Again to new life so that we can find new life in you. So now each time we Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, he says, will never be hungry again. And so we eat, giving thanks to God for feeding us and giving us his life. Thanks be to God. Amen. His grace into our lives. Amen. Each of us has been fed with God's grace. May we know how much we are loved by God. May we hear his call to serve others as he has served us. May we hear his invitation, his plan to rescue the world. May we be prepared to follow daily and to be a community of people that walks in the footsteps of Jesus, to be covered in the dust of our rabbi. Let's pray. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for feeding us at your table. We remember that we are your children and that you have called us now to share your love with everyone we meet. Oh, help us, Lord, to follow you daily, to receive your life, to walk in your strength, follow your ways every moment of our lives. And now may God's caring arms embrace us. May Jesus' comforting words fill us, and may the Holy Spirit's renewing presence surround us today and always. Amen. Amen. Can I just, as we close, just to tell you about one thing that I left until the end in case we run out of time, but I've just got time. Penrith and Eden Refugee Network are inviting us to join in with signing a letter that's being sent to our MP, Neil Hudson, about a new Bill of Rights that's being put through Parliament on the way that our government deals with refugees. I'm not going to read you the whole letter, but I'm just going to read you just a little bit of it. We're shocked by the government's proposals that will prevent people seeking asylum in the UK and deny those who are waiting for a claim to be heard the means to live a dignified life. How we treat refugees is about who we are. If any of us feared for our lives or for our loved ones, we'd want to know that others would help us to safety. This means standing up for people's ability to seek safety in the UK, no matter how they came here, and ensuring people can live in dignity while they wait for a decision on their asylum application. It means empowering refugees to build their lives and make valuable contributions to our communities. And it means the UK working with other countries to do our bit to help people who are forced to flee their homes. And the letter is asking Neil Hudson to examine closely the proposals put in the new Borders Bill and the evidence presented during the consultation, and consider whether it does indeed undermine our humanitarian values and Britain's position as a force for global cooperation. So if you'd like to add your name to it, there's just on the table when you signed in, there's a place for you to add your signature to it. God bless you all. Go in peace and know the God you follow as he follows and abides in you.